Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about your authority as a believer in Jesus Christ and the authority that Jesus and God have given us to walk in victory, not only to claim kingdom power for our own lives, but to claim kingdom power and to help other people be delivered of sickness and demonic onset, demonic oppression, demonic harassment. And this comes on the heels of the messages I've been speaking about freeing ourselves from depression and anxiety. And in the end days, one of the hallmarks of the end days is many people will be anxious, many people will be full of all kinds of despair and depression and hopelessness. And God wants us to have victory. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to be free and to walk in victory. And so this message is going to be talking about how we have gained authority through the blood of Jesus to claim victory and to claim what God's promises are for our life by the kingdom of God residing and prevailing in our life. Well, in Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus said to the disciples, "And when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease." And so, as Jesus gave the authority to the disciples to cast out demons and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease, so too we as disciples of Jesus Christ, by the power and the grace given to us by the power of his blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross, we are able to move forward in victory, and we can lay hands on people and we can see the demons flee by the power. It's not our power. It comes not from us, but by the power that is given to us and by the authority that is given to us in the name of Jesus Christ and by the blood that he shed, that we can have victory. He goes on to say there in Matthew 10, verse 7, when Jesus was sending the disciples out, he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received and freely give." And so the very same thing applies today, beloved. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and he took the keys of the devil, when he was in the tomb, he took the keys away from the devil, the keys of hell and damnation, and he set the captives free, and he led them into heaven. Then he sat down at the right hand of God. And so the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was declaring it over the disciples that walked with him for 3.5 years, and he also declared it over us. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go unto all the nations." First he said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." And so then he gave that authority. He transferred that authority over to his disciples. And it wasn't just for them only. It wasn't just a dispensational or a time period thing. You know, when the last apostle died, then the authority was taken away. No, we have authority. The same authority the disciples and the apostles that walked with Jesus had, we have that very same authority as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so because of that authority, because of the blood Jesus shed for us, not only for our salvation, but also for our healing, and also by that blood, by the name of Jesus, because he claimed victory over the devil, because he took the keys of hell and damnation away from the devil and set the captives free, also by that blood, by that victory that Jesus claimed, we too have victory over the devil in our life. In Luke 10, verse 17, Jesus is speaking to the 70 disciples. He'd sent them out. Basically, it's a similar scripture to the scripture we just looked at in Matthew. He had sent the disciples out, only there were 70 of them this time. And he sent the 70 out, and they returned to him with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, what's Jesus talking about there? He saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, at one time, Satan was one of the anointed cherubs. He was the anointed cherub in heaven, leading, some people say, leading the worship in heaven. And he was up there, and he chose to rebel against God. He chose to rebel and challenge the authority of God. Well, this story is chronicled about the fall of Satan from heaven. It's chronicled in Isaiah 14, where Isaiah is speaking through an earthly king, the king of Babylon, and he says here in Isaiah 14, verse 12, "Oh, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations! For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, even to the lowest depths of the pit. And those will gaze on you and consider you, saying, Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people." Well, this passage in Isaiah goes on in great detail, but five times the devil, Satan, Lucifer, five times he said, "I will ascend, I will take over, I will challenge, I will go above the mountain of the Lord." And so he challenged God, and so Jesus said in this passage in Luke, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." And so Jesus was there, and he saw Satan fall. Satan was there. He was there, and he saw Jesus watch him fall. And so those two know each other very well. That's why the demons, when Jesus came into their midst, when Jesus came in to the presence of demonic entities and demon-possessed people, they always cried out, "Son of God, don't torment me. Don't send me out of the territory. Don't send me out before my time." They were always cognizant and aware of the fact that Jesus, as a man on this earth, he was also the Son of God. And so demons know their place. Demons know that their time is short. They know that their time is limited. They also know that they are subject to the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of Jesus, by the blood that he shed. They know they are subject to him. And so that is the authority that we have to cast out demons that cause sickness, cast out demons that cause mental illness and mental instability and depression and despair, by the name of Jesus, by the power of his blood, the blood that he shed on the cross, the blood that he shed at the whipping post, the blood that he gave in sacrifice for our righteousness, for our sin. That same blood gives us the authority and the power, because that blood was presented to God in heaven. We can read about that in Hebrews chapter 9, chapter 10, that Jesus took his very own blood as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind, so that we could know the righteousness of God. Well, going on in Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And so Jesus said that you're going to have power. He was telling this to the disciples, but the same applies to us. He said you're going to have power to be able to trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And so if you are beset by fear, if you're beset by anger, if you're beset by bondage, any type, pornography, drug addiction, cigarette smoking, whatever the devil is doing to try to destroy you, to kill you, to destroy your health, to destroy your mind. Maybe you can't sleep at night. Maybe you're having nightmares, and when you lay down to sleep, you can't sleep because you're anxious, you're nervous, you're all wound up. Jesus wants to set you free, and you, by declaring his name over your enemy, declare his name by the power and by the blood of Jesus Christ over pornography. I speak to that mountain we talked about in the last couple of weeks, speaking to that mountain in your life. And Jesus said, when you speak to that mountain, and you have the faith of a mustard seed, that you can speak to that mountain, and that mountain will be moved from here into the sea. What was he talking about? He's talking about speaking to the problems in your life that become mountains. They may be a molehill to somebody else, but in your life, they're a mountain. And Jesus is just saying that you have authority to speak to that mountain and to say to that mountain, mountain, move from my life, move from here into the sea. And Jesus said that when you speak against your enemy, I have given you the power over the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, in realistic, practical sense, that doesn't ever mean you're not going to stub your toe and get hurt. It doesn't ever mean you're not going to have physical illness. But I believe God wants us to be blessed with good health. I believe as much as possible God wants us to make good decisions so that we are healthy. I believe as much as possible God wants to bless our finances. I believe God wants us to be blessed in ministry or in our family life or in whatever way we want to serve the Lord. He wants to bless us. He wants to see us be successful. He wants us to move forward in the kingdom, not only in ministry or in family, but in our personal walk with the Lord. He wants to see us move forward so that we come to know Jesus Christ in a deeper way. We come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we come to the knowledge of God in deeper measure in our life. That is God's will for our life. And so I believe God wants us to move forward, and that we can do so because we have power over the enemy, and the enemy is not going to continue to drag us down and beat us up and keep us from our destiny and keep us from our calling and from our service to the kingdom of God. But then Jesus goes on to say there in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so Jesus was saying, yes, you're going to have power. Yes, you're going to have authority over the demons in your life and other people as well. Yes, you're going to see amazing things. But even with all of that, notwithstanding all of that, Jesus says the greatest thing is that you can say that your name is written in the book of life, that you are saved. Beloved, it is the greatest thing to be able to say that you are a born-again believer, that you are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away. And so the greatest thing in your life is that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's greater than any kingdom work that you can do. That's greater than any demon that you can cast out or any sickness you can take authority over. And to say that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know that today, if you can't say that today, then I would urge you to get down on your knees and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life. I would urge you to cry out to Jesus. Maybe you don't know for sure if Jesus is even real in your life, and you may not know if God is real, but I would encourage you and urge you today to pray to Jesus. Say, Jesus, reveal yourself to me, and encourage you to cry out to him. No matter what's happening into your life, Jesus is able, he is capable, he is big enough, God is big enough to take care of your problems, and the blood that he shed will give you authority over the demons in your life, and you can lay hands on your children, and if your children are having nightmares or your children are full of fear, you can lay hands on them, put some worship music on in their bedroom and just speak blessings of the Lord over their life and put worship music on so that they get saturated in their bedroom, in their atmosphere with the blessings of the Lord, and you will see great changes in your family. You'll see changes in your own life. This is the will of God for you, beloved. This is the will of God, that you can see victory in your life. You can see the kingdom of God coming and establishing itself as you walk with the Lord. And as you call upon the name of Jesus, all shall be saved. I heard a story just this week about a lady in a foreign country, and she's of a religion that doesn't pray to Jesus. She's of a religion that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And this lady was very sick. She has cancer. And she started praying to Jesus, not even knowing for sure if Jesus was real. But she said for several days she just cried out to Jesus. For several days she prayed to Jesus. And Jesus was faithful and true to answer her in this time of her trial, in this time of her tribulation. And he showed himself real to her, and she said she never had such peace in her whole life. And this is an elderly lady. She said she never had such peace in her whole life, and she realized that Jesus is who he says he is. There was a bright light. Jesus revealed himself to her with a bright light behind him, a cosmic light, she called it. And so she knew that Jesus was real. She knew, because the peace that she had, that Jesus was something extraordinary. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just another idol, another god like Buddha or Muhammad or Allah or whoever. He was the Son of God, and he revealed himself to her, and so that she knew he was real, and she knew that he cared about her and cared about her sickness. And so this is God's will for you, that you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and him alone. Many people aren't sure about Jesus, and so they pray unbelieving. They pray in hope, but not knowing for sure even if God is real or if Jesus is real. I say to you today, he is real, and he wants you to know him, and he wants you to call out to him and him alone, and trust that he is who he says he is. Trust that he can do for you and hear from you, and he will send his angels to comfort you. He will give you his peace, and you will know that he is the Jesus of God's word. Well, I'm going to talk about a story here in Mark chapter 3. Turn there in your Bible, and we're going to talk about the authority that Jesus had to cast out demons. The scribes came to him and accused him of casting out demons by the prince of the demons, or by Beelzebub, the lord of the flies. And in verse 23, chapter 3, it says, "The scribes who came down from Jerusalem says, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And so they were accusing Jesus of cooperating with the devil to cast out demons. And Jesus called them to himself and said in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end." And so what Jesus was saying here is that Satan never comes against himself. And so it was ludicrous or crazy for Jesus to be casting out demons by the prince of the demons. Jesus says it can't be. That will never happen, because Satan does not come against himself, because if he does, then his house can't stand. Well, we know many times that Satan's house can stand. We know many times that there is demonic destruction, and it's because the demons are cooperating with each other. They're helping each other. They're opening up a door into somebody, and once the demons get in and they open up a small door, guess what? They're not satisfied with that. They want to open up a bigger door, and so the bigger door becomes a bigger door, and then those demons continue to work on that person and open up a bigger door. And so that's why, beloved, we need to walk in holiness. We need to walk in righteousness. We need to keep our act cleaned up. We need to keep our act in righteousness and clean before the Lord. Who can ascend to the mountain of the Lord but he who has clean hands and a pure heart? And so when you give the devil a little bit of authority and you give him a little bit of legal ground to come in and wreak havoc in your life, then he starts to take more and more ground. He starts to take more and more authority. He starts to cause all kinds of mayhem and chaos and sickness and disease. And so because of that, we need to stay with short accounts with the Lord. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us when we sin, when we stumble. We need to get right and get back up on our feet and stay corrected with the Lord. And so when Jesus said, I can't cast out demons by the power of the demons, Jesus was saying, I cast out demons by the power of God. When you see the demons flee, when I cast them out, you know that the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. And so he says in verse 27, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. And so Jesus says, the way I take authority over the demonic realm, the way I take authority over the demons in a person's house, is that by the power of God, I go in and I first bind the strong man. What's he talking about? Bind the strong man. He's saying I go in and I bind the demons, the strong man, that is causing the havoc and wreaking the havoc in that person's house. And so this is an example for us and a lesson for us. When you pray for people, you ask the Lord to send his angels in there to bind the strong man. If you're praying for somebody in the distance, you ask the Lord to send his angels, and you say, Lord, I ask you to send your angels to bind that demon of drug addiction, bind that demon of pornography, bind that demon of rebellion or sickness or spirit of death and destruction, whatever it is. You ask the Lord to send his angels to war over that demonic spirit. Or if the people are in your presence and you're actually laying hands on them, you can actually lay hands on them and bind them in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, by the blood that he shed on the cross. You can say, I bind you, you whatever sin that is obvious, whatever sin that is revealed, you bind that sin, you bind that demonic presence, and you take authority over the strong man in that person's life, and you set that person free by the power and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, no one can enter a strong man's house unless you first bind the strong man. And then in verse 28, Jesus wraps it up and he says, assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whoever blasphemies or whatever blasphemies they may utter, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal damnation. Well, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, beloved, is speaking against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you will be forgiven all other sins that you commit, but if you speak against the convicting power, in other words, you deny the power of the Holy Spirit, you deny the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, which is convicting you of your sin, then that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You are lying against the Holy Spirit, and from that there is no forgiveness, because you have been given the opportunity, you have been given the chance to submit to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, to admit that you're a sinner, to say, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I know I need a Savior. Yes, Lord, I know I need deliverance. And if you deny that, if you speak against that and say, no, I don't need any of those things, I don't need the Holy Spirit, I don't need Jesus, I don't need God, then you are lying against the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And from that, there is no forgiveness. And for that, you will reap eternal damnation. Well, beloved, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. I hope you know Jesus today in your life. I hope you know the power that he can give you to live a victorious life, a life full of peace and joy. I hope you know that in your life today. If you don't, cry out to him, and he will be faithful and true to answer your prayer. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We're going to have contact information here in just a minute, but if you've never supported this ministry, I pray that you do that today. Sit down, write out a check to help these radio broadcasts continue and to help finance other projects of the ministry, the Africa Crusades, the orphanage project in Africa, and I pray that you would pray about your part in helping this ministry and see the kingdom of God move forward through Gather the Outcasts radio ministry. If you have never done that, do that today, and you will be blessed, and we will be eternally grateful, and God will thank you, God will bless you, and we thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week. God bless you.